Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
ABC continues to provide entertainment, information, and continues to be a critical source of broadcasting in the country. It therefore behooves us to pay our TV license, although it's not necessarily made easy, and their collections, as we know, have been perennially bad for I would even say decades. My next guest, Michael Markowitz, knows a little bit of a thing or two about this quandary for any public broadcaster. He's the head of Gibbs Media Leadership Think Tank and joins me now. Michael, welcome to KayaBiz. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Certainly. So, trying to deal with this quandary, the SABC is tabling or wanting to table a bill that would create a compulsory household levy to be collected by SARS and MultiChoice, or either or, I guess, because they've got better collection methods. And the immediate response that I have as a consumer, a South African, and even a person who understands the importance of a public broadcaster is no. To the no.
Let me just correct your opening. Firstly,
yes.
The SABC is not tabling a bill. Only government can table legislation. So that bill was tabled by the previous administration, sixth administration. SABC made submissions on the bill, and it did have proposals. So I think it's fair to say, you know, this has been quite a contentious issue for a while, because there's been literally decades without addressing this funding model reveal. So what we have at the moment is obviously like an emergency situation where the SABC is perennially in financially stressful conditions. And there's been a need to update the funding model, because I think we all agree, most people agree, that the TV license model is broken. And for whatever reason, why people don't pay, it's partly a number of reasons. I think it's become a grudge payment, but also the collection systems. You cannot just have a collection system which relies on voluntary payment and there's no consequences. And it's called a TV license. And as you know, and you talked about in your intro, people don't just consume the SABC on television. There's also radio, streaming, social media, etc. So the whole framework, the policy, needed to be overhauled. And that brings us back to the present day. What you had last administration is a SABC bill was tabled without any policy framework. Now, that's unusual in any legislative process, because normally the policy on the funding model or whatever legislation is should precede the legislation. And unfortunately, it didn't. But I think that, you know, there's a new chair of the Portfolio Committee on Communications and Digital Technology, Chairperson Kusela Sangoni, and she's brought a very refreshing attitude to the process, and called for more submissions. And we're hopeful that the process will be opened up, because there are a lot of problems with the current SABC bill.
Yeah. So thanks for the correction. This was obviously brought by the department, but it was at the, as you rightly say, the Portfolio Committee on Communications and Digital Technologies last week that the SABC presented on the bill rather than tabling the bill. So yeah, let's drill a little bit into the options that we might have here. So it's do we have a sense of, first of all, when you're creating the policy framework, does SABC even have a sense of the degree of consumption in each household? Or does that even matter to a policy framework? Does the fact that it can be ported to your house compel you to pay? Sorry.
You know, I think we should start really from like the basic principle of why, like, you know, what is the current system based on? The current system is based on buying a television set, okay? Owning a television set, possessing it, and using it, okay? Now, there's absolutely no way of proving that whether or not people use SABC. And I think it's foolhardy to even go down that road.
Okay.
The one of the proposals, I'm not saying you are foolhardy, I'm saying the people who said that. I just don't think we should actually, I think we should just scrap the idea whether or not people are using a TV set and just scrap the technology-related definition.
Really?
I think we can all agree that people have access to the SABC all over the country. There are obviously people who cannot afford to pay anything, and whatever solution is devised and finalized, Rufiwa. I think it should exempt the indigents and have a way of making sure that that sector do not pay at all and they're exempted. But I do think that the point is that if you look at how Germany does it, they don't even worry about, listen, whether you use it or not. They say a public broadcaster contributes to democracy. It's important to find a sustainable way to fund it because it's positive for democracy. And also, by the way, the private sector does not broadcast in all our official languages, and it fills a very important role. So if you go on whether people have access to it as a basic principle, you can say, yes, they have access. Is it possible then to levy a new form of levy where a lot of people have proposed, some have proposed that SARS collects it as a ring fence levy? Others have proposed that the subscription broadcasters, as you mentioned, and streaming services help the SABC to collect it. But I think there's real consensus that the current system is broken, and what we need is a new policy to help guide the legislation. And what many are saying is that policy has not been finalized yet, and I think we really need to expedite the development and finalization of that policy.
Michael, I can totally get on board with the idea that a public broadcaster supports democracy, especially, well, insofar as it's not sort of corrupted by officials that try to impose their perspectives on an editorial process, you know, that it can function independently. And so, like any other public service, I would completely agree with you if you said to me that you move through the SARS model and it must be ring-fenced in the way that the Road Accidents Fund and other ring-fenced funds are raised. But the proposal of multi-choice and or a participant in a competitor space seems unfair, doesn't it? Or are there other countries where this is done?
Well, they are. I mean, I know multi-choice, and to be fair to them, they have obviously completely vehemently opposed any suggestion or consideration that they may be required to collect it.
Good.
I think that's quite obvious, and they made it quite clear, and that's how they propose SARS collect it. I do think that it's incorrect for them to say that it's globally unprecedented. In Spain, which is part of the EU, the private sector and historically the telco sector have contributed to assisting to pay for their public broadcast. Now, whether or not that system can be easily replicated here, I'm not saying it can. I think it should be part of the debate. It should be part of the array of potential funding solutions that we look at. Some people have said municipalities should collect it. I'm totally against that because I think we've got enough problem with municipality bills as is. The SARS one, the ring-fenced fund, I think that should be given consideration. But I think all options should be on the table. If it's good enough for a member of the EU to do it, where they've got developed democracies, I think there's no reason why we couldn't consider it here. I mean, we see other areas where, you know, hotels are all required to collect a tourism levy, and you see it at the bottom of your bill, and you have to pay it. Now, obviously, people might resent doing that, you know, but there's nothing you can do about it because it's a levy that's used to promote tourism in South Africa. You could argue that, you know, the private sector has also a duty to promote the sustainability of the public sector. Yes, it does compete with it, but it doesn't. It's not a subscription broadcast. It's not competing for subscribers. So I think there is a difference, but all I'm saying, just in summary on that one, is I think there should be a range of issues considered, but I think the consensus is important that we cannot proceed really expecting the SABC to fulfill a public mandate which is over 2 billion rand a year, and government only contributes 3% of its funding.
That's unsustainable.
That is globally unprecedented.
Okay, so I would love to touch on, and I know we won't be able to dig into all of them fully, but you know, two of those that you just mentioned, the one of course being the telcos. The telcos seem to be a great way for us to collect the levies insofar as cell phone penetration is pretty decent in South Africa, but then it doesn't necessarily protect the indigent, as you suggest, and perhaps using SARS allows us to do that because there's an, you know, you're able to highlight, you know, in the personal income tax bracket, you can sort of exclude people who are below a particular level.
It does have that merit, but I also think one of the concerns that we need to raise when you say talk about a ring fence fund, the whole idea is to create a sustainable model where there's a reliable source of funding, whether it's public financing from the public direct to the SABC or public financing from the state direct to the SABC. There needs to be a guaranteed source of funding. And let me just quickly say, I agree with you. My basis for saying this is the assumption that there's an independently run SABC, editorially independent and protected by its editorial policies, and plays that public interest role. I'm not saying that this, you know, should be applied in any other way. It's based on that assumption that the law on independence is preserved, and therefore there is a public interest in sustaining it. People say, oh, the private sector can do what the SABC does. I totally disagree. If it did, it would be setting up indigenous language stations in competition. If you look at the private sector, to be honest, most radio is in English and Afrikaans.
Correct.
And very little is in other indigenous languages. So I think the role the SABC played is unique and important, and a funding model has to be sustainable. And I agree, not a quick fix.
You mentioned in this opinion piece, and I'm glad to have seen it mentioned, but I'd love to hear more detail. The BBC, it's difficult for me to think of a more globally present, fully funded, multiple stationed national broadcaster than the BBC. Anything we can learn from them?
Well, they are literally and figuratively the mother of all public broadcasters,
right.
And really they've been around for over 100 years. The point is that their TV license has got to sort of become part of the fabric. And look, it's a criminal offense not to pay it, and people do. But that's also come under pressure, and there is a bit of a pressure on this model. I think that one of the advantages of having a mixed funding model, which I support, is that the SABC doesn't become totally reliant on just one source.
Yes.
It does protect itself. It will still get advertising, but it shouldn't be a situation where it's 80% dependent on advertising, because that is not sustainable.
If every taxpayer over a certain amount paid this 250 rand a year, would we be able to fund that billion, that 2 billion? I think much more than that.
Okay. And I think, look, I'm just saying the subscription and streamers oppose this, but if you just looked at the number of subscribers that consume audiovisual content in this country, if you put the 250 rand a year on that, you would get well over 2 billion rand a year. I mean, but I'm just saying that's one thing to consider. It's not what I'm saying must be implemented immediately, because there needs to be further research and feasibility done.
So what's next? This research and feasibility and more discussions in the portfolio committee.
Yes, well, look, they've asked the department to respond to the comments and criticism on the bill, and why some people feel it should be withdrawn. So we'll wait to hear what the feedback is from the department, and one is assuming that the committee will allow further public participation when we get that feedback.
We look forward to that, and certainly rely on your voice being loudly heard, Michael. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks a lot.
Of course, Michael Markovitz, the head of the Gibbs Media Leadership Think Tank. It's 7:59.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.